428 on the Sports Line. Welcome back to the show. Rich Roth, Ed Lane here on a Thursday. And right now we're going to talk a little more Liberty Flames as we're joined by the great Nick Pierce of the Flame Sports Network. Hey, Nick.
Hey, Rich. How's it going, man?
Very good. How about yourself?
I'm good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Where are you?
All right. Great. I'm actually out here at the baseball stadium. I was going to try to catch a little fall scrimmage action here today, but hadn't really watched a whole lot yet. So, but they just got started.
Well, you'd think they'd give you access to the press box.
Well, I could, but yeah, I like to kind of be down here in the middle of things. I don't ever get to do that during the season. So,
then it's a good day to be outside, huh? Fall afternoon,
oh, well, and
beautiful.
That too. I mean, gosh, it's beautiful weather. Why would I want to sit indoors? I got away from my desk to come out here.
There you go. There you go. That's good thinking.
Get your mind ready for baseball season too, I'm sure. Knowing you, you probably, even though football's been looking great, you're ready for baseball all the time.
You know, I never really get my mind off of it. You know, it's kind of my first love. Football's a close second, but Flames are rolling here to start the season 3-0 for the first time in a while.
Now, Nick, let me ask you this. I was making the case earlier that barring an undefeated season, you know, I mean, what more can Liberty really do from a football standpoint to get people excited, because they knocked off Baylor and now they're kind of running through a number of 1AA schools and we know that they're making the transition out. So are just regular common football fans going to get excited about Liberty based on their schedule the rest of the way?
I think if you can put together a lot of wins,
yeah.
Sure. You know, and I think that anytime I think that the team has kind of embraced the whole aspect of, sure, there isn't an FCS playoff berth at the end. There's not a bowl game waiting for you at the end of the season, but I think everyone's kind of embracing these one-game seasons every week, and it sounds cliche and it sounds like coach speak, but that's really kind of how you have to treat the season. Every week's kind of its own Super Bowl. So that's the way that the team has kind of embraced that and prepared for each game, and certainly a big challenge coming up here this weekend with the Jacksonville State team that hasn't lost to an FCS club in quite a while. So, and I'm sure the Flames have a lot of payback on their minds from last year as well, the way that game went down here at Lynchburg. But to get back to your question, certainly the excitement at the end of that game last week where Indiana State was going to kick a game-winning field goal and Liberty was able to block it and secure the win at the end, I saw a lot of excitement from those fans. I saw a lot of excitement from the students who were actually rushing the field afterwards. So I think that there is some excitement right now around this program.
For the students that rush the field, the Indiana State's not necessarily the biggest name, but how much of that's the excitement that kind of culminates with this performance, but is built up from all the news that Liberty is going to make the move to 1A FPS? They go in and start the year off by beating a marquee name program and a Power 5 one at that in Baylor. You know, all of that, you know, them having, you know, a real cause to get celebrated in the moment.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was the emotion of it. I mean, the kids, though, you know, they certainly understood the Baylor win. There was a lot of field rushing here actually that night as well, and partying on campus, you know, within the Liberty way, of course. But but no, the kids, you know, they had a great time that night. And then I think just the emotional aspect of it, the closeness of that game with Indiana State. I mean, our students are really good fans, and they come out here and support the team. And, you know, they were packed out on that side last week. So, you know, certainly not the marquee name like you alluded to, but I think the excitement of the moment, I mean, it was good to see. And it showed that the kids care. The kids care about the outcome, and I think that the fan base cares as well, given that, you know, there's been over 16, 17,000 people here each of the first two games.
Nick, do you feel like you're old enough to comfortably call them kids?
You know, that's, yes.
You do? Okay. All right.
That bothers me. It really bothers me. It's hard to believe. I graduated 10 years ago, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right in that window where, you know, you still kind of want to feel that you're young and you're kind of that age. And, you know, that's why I was wondering. I mean, is it comfortable? It sounds pretty natural.
I mean, I've kind of gotten used to it between this and then, you know, doing minor league baseball in the summer. All these guys are 18 and 19 years old. I mean, they're legitimately kids to me. I mean, you know, they couldn't be my sons yet, but, you know, they're kind of like little brothers. And, you know, I'm only a few years away from the other, from being able to say that they could be my son. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that to my attention, Rich. Appreciate it. You know, the gray hairs and the beard weren't enough to remind me of that every day. But, yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, you're getting old, Nick. You're getting really old.
Rich is the master of insults, too. So, you know, we know how that rolls, Nick.
Of course, that just makes me ancient, though. So,
At least you own it, Rich. At least you own it.
I do own it.
For Liberty, though, you look at where they are right now as a program and the value of one game at a time. Is there a part of these players that also knows that what they do this year has the chance to set the tone for next year, especially given that so many core pieces, Buckshot, our guy, and we're waiting on Rich to play the obvious sound effect, but yes, Buckshot and Antonio Gandy-Golden both have a couple years left as Liberty makes this transition, that there is the ability to realistically sell core pieces of this program on the value of this year, paving the way for next year.
You kind of broke up there at the end. What was the last part of your question?
The last part was, you know, how much of the state of this program.
Interest.
Rich lost interest, but that's nothing new.
The long questions sometimes get to me.
All right, I'm going to hit the reset button. Nick Pierce, Liberty Flame Sports Network, with us here. Nick, how much of the youth of this team, the fact that they're young, really gives Coach Gill's message of, you know, one game at a time fruition and the ability for that to buy into next year as they lay that foundation?
Well, I certainly think it helps. I mean, these guys know that, you know, Buckshot Calvert, he's going to be here when this team is bowl eligible in a couple of years. Same for Antonio Gandy-Golden and some of those guys. So, but I think that that's kind of been the impressive part, too, is some of these older players that have shown that buy-in factor as well. A guy like a Solomon McGinty, who came out here and said that getting to play down there at Baylor in his home state in front of a lot of his family and friends, I mean, that was just as big, if not bigger, than winning a conference championship. So, it's all how you attack it mentally, and it seems like this team is, at least for the first 3 weeks, had the right mindset of that. I think that they certainly want to create a statement. I've gotten that vibe talking to guys, including Antonio Gandy-Golden here this week, that, you know, as we make this transition, we have to show folks that we're for real and we can compete at this level. And so far, they feel like they've done that.
All right, Nick, let's talk a little bit about this weekend's game against Jacksonville State. We've already alluded to the fact that they are one of the top 1AA programs going. They've got a loss to Georgia Tech, but they've beaten Chattanooga. And again, I mean, this is a game in which, you know, Liberty coming away with a win would be very, very big. But Jacksonville's a really good football team. How do you see this shaking out?
Well, Jacksonville State, first of all, yeah, they're ranked fifth in the country, ranked as high as fifth. I think the most impressive thing about them is 32 straight wins, regular season wins over FCS teams, or non-FBS teams at least. So Jacksonville State's a very good football team. Liberty has shown it's a better football team than it was last year, and that's something that Coach Gill alluded to in his press conference this week, is last year the Flames were still settling on a lot of positions. It was only Buckshot Calvert's second start. Stefan Masha actually played some quarterback at that game, too, I believe. So there was a lot more instability at this time last year. The stability aspect of it and the confidence that this team has going into this game, I think, is going to help a lot. I think that the Flames, ultimately, offensively, they're going to have to get some sort of a run game going against Jacksonville State, which is not easy to do. 19 of the last 41 opponents for the Gamecocks, they've held them under 100 yards rushing, including Liberty last year. So even if you can run the ball just enough, and then you're going to have to be able to hit on some of those deep one-on-one passes down the field like we've seen the Flames do early on this year. And then on the defensive side, I think you've got to be able to slow down Rock Thomas. The Auburn transfer rushed for over 100 yards on the Flames last year. He's off to a good start this year. You don't have Eli Jenkins to deal with the quarterback, but they've still got some playmakers out there at receiver. So the Flames have got to be able to slow down that run game and hopefully get a turnover or two and at least play well early in this game.
How crucial is that early in this game, just given how last year unfolded?
I think it's critical. You don't want to come out there and be down 14-0 right away, especially on the road in this environment. And they do pack it out down there. They averaged about 17.5 last year in attendance, so it will be hostile, and the Flames have got to be able to maintain that confidence early on in the ball game and hopefully be hanging around there in the third and fourth quarter and play a little bit better in the third quarter as well than they did this past week to have a shot to win this thing.
Good stuff, Nick. Thank you, man.
All right. Always a pleasure, guys.
Look forward to talking again. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Nick Pierce, old man.
Boy, you're all about the insults today.
No, it's not an insult. It's just funny hearing someone that I consider to be young calling college students kids.
And I guess I shouldn't be calling them kids either.
No, I don't. Yeah, kids. I don't like kids. When I hear kids, I think children. That's high school football.
Oh, we know, Rich. We know. You've made that point very clear on the Sports Line.
Good.
It is odd, though, because, you know, I've noticed the age gap as well. It's, you know, it's a decade plus in a lot of cases for me with college students. I mean, I graduated 9 years ago from college. You start to realize most of the athletes that you enjoy watching perform are much younger than you are. So the whole idea of viewing them as role models kind of changes. That's the part that gets me. They're younger than I am. Not only are they younger, they have a different lifestyle.
Yes, clearly. So you're not starstruck anymore?
Not really.
Good. All right, quick break. When we come back, Paul Woody, Richmond Times Dispatch columnist, is going to talk some Redskins. Stay tuned.